sets up, it's relentless. And whether you acknowledge a battle or not and how you're fighting the battle, you get to choose. But you know, what we do in here is we spend a lot of time talking about what a man of God does. And you just saw an example. The man of God's not a man of God because he never makes mistakes or never stumbles. But he proves he's a man of God by what he does when he makes a mistake and how he responds to that. We all have opportunities to do that, and God gives us weapons in the spiritual war. It's not just the Ephesians 6 thing, but it's all the same thing said in different ways, putting on the full armor of God. But God gives us weapons, and today I want to talk to you about whether you're different or not, whether you're unusual, peculiar. Those are the kind of words. Punch a guy next to you and say, he's talking about you, listen up. Jesus is at the deep end of the pool and he bids us come. When Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, he's at the deep end of the pool and he's saying, would you come? And we kind of know he's at the deep end of the pool and we hesitate to come. Because we're afraid of what he's going to ask us to do. We're afraid of what he's going to ask us to give up or surrender or die to. And believe me, he won't disappoint you about asking you to surrender, give up, and die to things. Just like a good parent, you don't know what's best for yourself. I don't want to offend you or anything, but I don't mind if I do. He knows that we don't know what's best. We don't know the future. And I've learned so much going through this with Susan that when God says no, that God has a purpose in saying no. I had to say no to my kids all the time. They didn't like it. When my mom and dad said no to me, I didn't like it either. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, and who I wanted to do it with. But they saw the problems that I didn't see and I didn't care. And there are times in your life and mine when we go through that. I want to read a few scriptures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means he's grafted in and joined to him by faith as his Savior. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. That means he's been reborn by the Holy Spirit. He's been born again, as Jesus looked at Nicodemus, says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. That's your problem. The old things, the previous moral spiritual condition you were in, what you used to be, the man you used to be, the old things you did that were of the sinful nature and appetites. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into a guy's life, he changes. And this is amazing. I think the most amazing thing in the world is when a man comes to Jesus Christ. That's the biggest miracle. Because it is so hard to get a man in the kingdom. It's hard enough to get him in church, but it's really hard to get him into the kingdom. It's really hard to see him born again. But boy, when you see a guy that's really been truly born again, it's an amazing miracle. He was going in this direction. He repented. He saw the error of his ways. The Holy Spirit came into his heart. He turned around and he was a different guy. The Apostle Paul was a good example of that. He was so bad, he was so mean, he was so cruel, he was so vindictive and self-righteous in his own words that everybody was afraid of him, even after he had had a big road to Damascus conversion with Jesus. And what grace we have in our God. Now, when the men of the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin, saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John. And you'll recall that Peter and John were walking into the synagogue, and this was after Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were different guys. They weren't the same guys they used to be. And they looked at Peter and John, and they had just healed a lame beggar. And so they, not long after that, they were walking into the synagogue. And it says, when they saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John. Now, this was after, too, Peter had just preached this unbelievable, bold, confident, rear-end-kicking message. And they thought, who is this guy? And they understood they were uneducated. We don't have many in this room uneducated, but I went to Auburn. Anybody else go to Auburn? Not only are they uneducated, they're untrained. They didn't get to seminary. They didn't go into training courses, workshops, seminars, Bible college. They hadn't been in the right schools. They're untrained. They're uneducated. What good are they? And they're also dull and boring, loud and crude, commonplace, ordinary men. When they saw this, they were astounded. Who you been astounding lately? Who you been astounding because of how different you are? Who's going, something's happened to you, what's going on? Who have you been astounding by the way that you carry yourself, the way that you respond to life, the way you talk, the countenance on your face? And then they began to realize that they had been with Jesus. See, when you're with Jesus and when you're spending time with Jesus, he solves a lot of the problems and he answers a lot of the questions so you don't have to be confused anymore. You understand the sovereignty of God. You understand that there's peace in him, that there's rest in him, and there's that rest only comes when you let go of what you have to let go of to come to him. You can't hold on to that stuff and come to him too. Now, one of the things that keeps us from coming to him is our concept of who he is. Who is God to you? If you were to describe your Father, your God, or Jesus, how would you describe them? Are they hard and demanding? It's like he gave the talents out to the guys. And the guy that got one talent, remember him? And the rest of the guys had invested their talents. They had doubled and made profits. They had been fruitful. But this guy with one talent, when he says, what do you got? And he says, I still got my one talent. I buried it in the ground. Because I knew that you were a hard taskmaster and you gather where you had not sown and reap where you had not scattered. And so I was afraid and I buried my talent. How many guys are burying their talents because they have a wrong concept of God? Make sure you're not one of those guys that because of your lack of faith and your wrong concept, your God is not your dad. God is not your drill sergeant. God is not your wife. God is not that person or that authority in your life who has no grace, who's unforgiving, who's hard taskmaster. And that's what this guy with one talent had. And you don't want to be that guy because look what happened to him. Cast him into the outer darkness. That's a pretty strong penalty right there. And so, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even corrupt tax collectors do the same? If you're kind only to your friends, what do you do more than others? And how are you different from everyone else? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? The church has been accused today, and I think rightfully so in many places, if not most, of blending into the world. We went through a deal where we wanted to make the church comfortable for non-church people, for goats, if you will. Jesus used the term goats, sheep and goats. And goats are the people that aren't believers or in the Jewish day that Jesus lived in. They were Gentiles. We still are if we're not Jewish. But he never tried to make those Gentiles feel comfortable. Today, there's been an effort in the church to make goats feel comfortable in church. We don't want to offend them. We don't want to make them feel guilty. I remember, well, I won't share that illustration. It gets too close to home. Sometimes the Spirit checks us, thankfully, not all the time. But we've opened the doors, and it's good to open the doors to those who don't know Jesus. But really, church is for the body of Christ and our growth. We have missions. We have evangelism. We have that work, that mission that we get sent in. When you leave here today, you're going out there on mission. Out there to give them heaven. But in here, we're in here as the body of Christ. We're in here as men of God. We're in here as a band of brothers to pull close together, to be reminded of who we are, why we're here, where we're going, and how we're going to get there, and who's going to get us there. And we need that every week. We need it every day. I've had guys say, could we have this meeting every day? It'd wear thin after a while on that regard. I think we need a week to get messed up to appreciate Friday mornings.
Get messed up quicker.
Yeah, it doesn't take a week, does it? How are you different from anyone else? What do you do more than others? You see what Jesus expects of us, and rightfully so. If he's given us his Holy Spirit, and it's a spirit not of timidity, but power and love and discipline. It's a spirit of a guy who's changed. He doesn't have the same heredity anymore. He's got a spiritual heredity that's his home. It's his family. It's his identity. The second question before you put the wristband on, the man of God wristband, is do you find your identity in Jesus Christ? In other words, if I really wanted to get to know you, what would I need to know? How do you answer the question? And we have those questions sometimes in our triads that we do at retreats and other things. If I really wanted to get to know you, what would I need to know? So that when you're truly excited about Jesus Christ, that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. That's the thing that you want to be known by. That's your identity. My son, as some of you know, is for the last 15 years or so, has been a model and a commercial actor and lives up in L.A., and he's got scars to prove it. But he's walking with the Lord and doing a great job as a dad. But anyway, J.C. Penney was doing a photo shoot, and they wanted three generations, and so he called me and asked me if I was available. And I said, yeah, I guess I am. So we were up in Pasadena all day on Tuesday, and we were doing this photo shoot. I had a groomer, makeup. I think we need to have one of those here on Friday morning. We can do it upstairs. Some people watching on the television right now are going, yeah, I think you need one. So anyway, we're up there, and so they have crew. I mean, this is a small crew when you're doing a photo shoot. If you're doing a commercial, Chris Patrick tells me it's a whole lot more people involved. But anyway, as soon as we got there, they have a nice breakfast all laid out, and they had rented this home in Pasadena to shoot the thing. And so I'm sitting there having breakfast, and there's another gal there, and she says, well, what do you do? Eventually, she said that. I knew I was going to get that question. And I said, well, I'm a life coach for knuckleheads. Because it takes one to know one. And so we said a couple other things, and then I said, it seemed appropriate to say, well, you know, I'm a life coach for guys that are following Jesus Christ and who want to learn how to integrate their faith into their families and their jobs and their world and their culture. How do you be a light? How do you be the light of the world and the salt of the earth? And that's what I help guys do. Oh, well, how do you like that bacon? She didn't pick up on that. But there are times when someone wants to know who you are. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God for salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And there are times when you and there are going to be more times and maybe more pressing, more great opportunities in the future for us to make a stand, to stand in the face of danger, to bear up under suffering, to sacrifice for the good of others, just like Jesus. And that's what we have the honor of doing, is to be just like Jesus to this world. How different are you? How like Jesus are you? Because if you're really like Jesus, it's going to be said of you, that guy that's turning the world upside down, he's here. That guy is so different and unique, and everybody is being moved and changed and affected by him. They're here. They're in our town now. And that's the kind of men that God wants us to be, but you can't do it on the backstroke. You can't do it if you're half-hearted. You can't do it if you're a businessman who happens to be a Christian rather than a Christian who happens to be a businessman. It's not going to happen. And you'll be at the shallow end of the pool, and what'll reveal the fact that you're at the shallow end of the pool is how you respond in crisis. And you've heard me say 100, if not 1,000 times, quoting Oswald Chambers, when the crisis comes, and crisis is here, crisis used to be, now crisis is coming. When the crisis comes, not if it comes, when the crisis comes and courage is required, are you going to speak up? Are you going to turn the other cheek? Are you going to go the second mile? Are you going to bless those who persecute you? Are you going to pray for your enemies? I was thinking on preaching on this in Alabama next time I get a chance to the Auburn and Alabama people about this commandment that Jesus gave us. A new commandment I give to you, you Alabama people, love those Auburn people. You Auburn people, love those Alabama people. Love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by doing this, by being this kind of person, by being so uniquely different and peculiar, unusual, not normal, that's what that means. By this, all men will know. They won't wonder. They'll know that you're my disciple. If you have love for one another. See, the distinguishing mark of Christianity, of following Christ, of Jesus Christ, is love. Not just any kind of love. Not that reciprocal kind of love that they have to love you back. But it's that love that loves no matter what. That love that can turn the other cheek and go the second mile and see an opportunity in that to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth and different and peculiar. And the old things are passed away. What old things? The old things, you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind with me. You can't treat me that way. You can't get away with that. I'm not your doormat. I mean, we got people calling themselves Christians acting and talking just like that. And they call themselves followers of Christ, and they reveal by their life, their actions, their attitude, their responses, they're not followers of Jesus Christ. But guys, when I say it doesn't happen on the backstroke, I found myself in the last couple of weeks kind of losing focus. And that means focus from where I was and spending time journaling and spending time with the Lord and focusing on Him and trying to keep my act together. And so when the Lord called me aside, He called me aside and He says, you know, what you need to do is just saturate yourself, Psalm 1 style. And in His law, He meditates day and night. And in His law, He meditates day and night. See, guys, you got to decide what environment you want to be in and what environment you create that you are in. When you walk into a room, did Jesus just show up or just another businessman who happens to be a Christian? That means you compromise a lot. That means you do what's the most expedient for the bottom line. That means you change according to the culture that you're in to be profitable. That means you may cut corners if you need to because success is what you're after. That's what a businessman who happens to be a Christian. That's all the temptations that come his way and the landmines that he has to and will step on. I've had guys come to me before and he says, you know, that guy, he's there at your group every Friday, but you ought to see how he treats people at work. You ought to see how he, when he walks out of here, he puts his business game face on and he's a different guy. He's not the same guy. He's not hugging and tugging and praising the Lord and lifting his hands in the worship like he was before he went out the door. He's just a different guy at work. I've seen men like that. My dad was like that. He was a different guy when I saw him with the guy, his line crew. He was worked for the Alabama Power Company, and I never saw my dad drunk. But twice growing up, he was an alcoholic, turned out to be a pretty serious alcoholic after I'd already left the home and married and all that. But I'm not criticizing my dad. He's just like a lot of guys. They kind of blend into whatever environment they're in. They kind of go with the flow. Well, see, when you're different, you're against the flow. I'm telling you, you're the salmon swimming upstream. There are bears up there waiting for you to jump right in their mouth. You've seen that video. But you're swimming upstream. You're different. You can't go along with the crowd anymore. You feel uncomfortable where you used to be very comfortable. I remember when I came to Christ, I had 2 quarters left at Auburn, and we got married in the meantime, and we had an apartment there not too far from our fraternity house, and I'd been a partier, man. I mean, I was one of the guys. And I was having a good time, too. And then I came to know Christ, and everything changed. And you could visibly see the change in me. I think Susan, I've told you this before, Susan would have never married me if she didn't see that change in me. But she saw a change in me she really liked. And again, she wanted to marry me before I changed back, I think. She wasn't sure how long this was going to last. And you know, that's true with a lot of guys. We've seen a lot of celebrities, and I'm sure this happens to a lot lesser than celebrities. We've seen a lot of celebrities who come to Christ. And they went and later they fell off the wagon or rejected it or whatever they did. And they said, well, that was a phase I went through. So there are people that do that. But when people are truly born again, when a guy is really born again, this guy is different. He's not the same guy he used to be. And he can stand up in front of a whole group of guys and who knows what, watching on our live streaming video. And he can say, I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes, but I am so thankful for God's grace, and I'm thankful that God's going to walk me through this. And I'm thankful for the band of brothers that are going to support me in it. You have to knock down a lot of walls to get there. You have to die to a lot of things. What did Bill have to die to? What does a man have to be able to stand up and walk in the light? I said, you want to do this in front of the whole guys? Of course, I wasn't going to give him an option, but I just wanted to hear his response. See, here's what I've learned. When you have moral failure in the body of Christ, you bring it out into the light. And you tell everybody about it. You announce it to the church. Now, not every guy will be as open and humble and transparent as Bill was this morning and is. And so not every guy who's in leadership in the body of Christ is going to do that. But what God requires is that if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, then you'll have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you of all and purify you of all sin and all your trespasses. Now, when you bring it out into the light, you just stop the rumor mill. Oh, did you hear about Bill and Debbie? Well, yeah, we heard about it. They announced it in front of the whole group on streaming video. They brought it right out into the light. And what'd they get? A standing, stinking ovation. That's who they were standing in heaven, too, ovating with you guys. That's what happens when you bring it into the light. And when you humble yourself under the hand of mighty God so he can exalt you. God wants to exalt us, but we have to humble ourselves to do that. That's different. That defines what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Did you know you're the salt of the earth? When you walk into work today or home with your wife or wherever you're headed, the barbershop, they say the salt of the earth just walked in. The light of the world just walked in. Because that's what people ought to be saying about us, because we're so different. Hilariously different. Crazy different. And that's what the world takes notice of. You just love those who love you, or you just kind to the people that are kind to you. And the people that aren't have the devil to pay. And you'll make sure he does. If they slap you on one cheek, are you seeing that as an opportunity to turn the other? That means if they humiliate you and say all manner of things against you, and are you ready to respond in that way? Because that's what gets the world's attention. The world's used to hitting back. They know there's Rambo, ties that thing around his head and his muscles are rippling, and he grabs his M80 machine gun and takes off and kills all the bad guys. They get it. They get revenge. And they're not impressed. It's not different. They may be glad that you're validating their spirit and heart and attitude. But they're not going to think there's something different about you that I need. You got something that I don't have. That's what salt does. It makes people thirsty for what you have. And light shines a light on their sin, because I remember when I first, and this happens all the time, when a person comes to Jesus, they stop doing certain things they used to do. So I stopped drinking. I was a partier, a drinker. Maybe I was. My dad's alcoholic. Maybe I could have been a good alcoholic, if there's such a thing, or a true alcoholic myself. I didn't like to chew one piece of gum. I'd throw the whole pack in my mouth. One beer, I want the whole six pack. And so when people stop and they're not doing that anymore, and we had two guys in our fraternity house that didn't drink. And the rest of the fraternity house spent most of their time trying to get these two guys to drink. Why? They didn't want that light around them. They want you to join in to their sin, to their parties, to their culture. Be one of us. Because when you're different and when you live differently, then your light shines on our darkness. And a lot of people don't like that. But there are other people that are hoping there's a guy of light out there somewhere. And when they see it, they're automatically drawn to it. That's what Nicodemus was. Somehow God had been messing with Nicodemus. So in the middle of the night, he comes sneaking around to Jesus, says, I know you're a man of God. You couldn't do the things that you do because, unless you're a man of God. And he started kind of milking it a little bit. And Jesus just cut to the chase scene. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. There's guys that we have to look at and we say, you just need to be born again. You need a new nature. You need a new spirit. You need a change of attitude, and you need a new spirit of that. You need to replace some of that solemnness, some of that frown with joy, and you need to get the joy of the Lord in your heart. You need to have a peace that surpasses all comprehension. It's not based on your circumstances or her changing, him changing, job changing, the weather being right. Your peace isn't determined by that. Your rest isn't determined by that. Your joy is not determined by that. Joy is not the absence of pain. It's the presence of God. And that's what God wants from me and you. God wants us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, peculiar, unique, different in a way. And do it naturally, spontaneously. So I was telling you about kind of a little bit backsliding I was doing. And the Lord says, you need to meditate day and night. So I got this new thing that you talk to and it does stuff. I got it for Christmas. It's called Google Play or something. And I can tell it to play music and it does. And I'll say, Google, play whatever music, Maranatha praise music. And it'll just start playing Maranatha praise music. Google, what's the weather today? You know that thing. And I guess there are other ones out there too. Sometimes I feel like I'm married to it. I'll say, Google, play this. So I go, yeah, you're not a premium member. You can't get that. Can't get it. Not a premium member. I've been told that in other words. And sometimes I've been told that by the Holy Spirit. You're not acting like a premium member. You only get that peace when you're a premium member. You can only have that rest. You can only have that love. You can only have that courage. You can only have that faithfulness and gentleness and goodness and kindness and hope and joy. If you're a premium member, you don't get that if you're not a premium member. I'll give you something less than that. I won't give you the pure Johnny Mathis Christmas album, but I'll give you a set that he sings in here and there. You get the message today? You get what God's saying to all of us as his men today at this time, at this hour, for such a time as this. He needs some men out there shining the light, being the salt of the earth, being peculiar and different, unusual and not normal. And all you got to do is live the Christian life. Just do what Jesus said do in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be different. And believe me, you're going to have people looking at you going, I don't know what you got, but I need it. There's guys out there, they're just looking for us. There are guys out there that want to be invited to a group like this. They'd come if you'd invite them 20 times. But they'll come. Let's go after them. Let's be different. Let's be unusual. We got the power. We've got the access to the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus through the blood of Christ. And I'll never be able to stand before God, neither will you, and say, you didn't give me enough translations of the Bible. You didn't give me enough church time. You didn't give me enough praise songs. You didn't give me enough of your whatever it is. We'll never be able to stand. He says, I gave you everything. You got everything you need right now. And you can go from the lowest respected guy to the highest respected guy, the most untrained, uneducated, not gifted, normal, obtuse guy, and be the most respected guy in the room just because the Holy Spirit fills you and you have a new identity, you have a new credibility, you have a new authority. That's what God wants to give us. Don't be down in the ditch when God wants you walking on water. Don't be at the shallow end of the pool when God bids you to come to the deeper end. And every step you take toward the deeper end is a surrender, a dying, a giving up. But as you give up, you get lighter and lighter and you get to where you walk on that water. You're casting all your cares on Him. You're not fearful anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be insecure anymore. You don't have to be wounded anymore and hide behind your wounds. God wants to cleanse that and free you of that. Would you be free today? Would you be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Would you tell God today, God, that's the man I want to be? I remember that was my prayer when I came to know Jesus. I know I'm not the man you want me to be, but I want to be. Would you make me that man? And God's been making me that man for 50 years. And He'll keep working until I go home and see Him. He's never going to give up on me. So you might as well not run and you might as well not hide, because you can go in the darkest part of the sea and He's there. Darkness is like light to Him. Go to the top of the mountain, He'll be there. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words. Go read Psalm 139 and then you'll know. No sense in running. No sense in hiding. He's everywhere all the time. Knows everything. Knows everything about me. How many hairs I have on my head. What I did. What I'm going to do in the future. The words that are coming out of my mouth before I even speak them. Why would I run from Him? I mean, it's futile. Let me just change that. I'm going to run to Him. We need some guys that will run to Jesus. And just not be afraid that He's like your dad. He won't reject you. He won't cast you out. He won't shame you. He won't criticize you. He won't keep reminding you of your sin. The devil does a good job of that. He'll just grab you and hold you and say, come here, boy. Let me give you a tug. Come here, boy, let me give you a hug. Let me show you what a man's whiskers feel like. And we get a chance to run to Him and hide in Him and find our strength in Him and find our hope in Him. And we get to just spontaneously get out there and give Him heaven. We don't have to think about it. We're just going to turn the other cheek. We don't have to think about it. We're just going to forgive Him. We don't have to think about it. We're just not going to be angry. We're not going to be impatient. We're not going to be irritated by that thing. I got pills. And then the last week, I opened the car door into something I didn't want to open it into. I spilled a bunch of little heart pills that are very small all over my kitchen tile floor. And I had to get them all up and try to find them all because I didn't want the dog eating them. And I find myself when I'm marinated in praise music, and that's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. Now I got this little thing, I just tell it to play praise music. It's on all the time. I play it for my dog, hoping it's going to have effect. All day long in the kitchen where she's penned up. And then she's hoping it'll have effect on me, so we're both in there praying for each other. But let's just join hands as brothers in Christ today. Let's give God the credit and the glory. And let's be the men God created us to be. Father, today we're just reminded that we're just not new, usual. We're peculiar people. We're a generation of people that are peculiar. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Your own possession, that we may declare the excellencies of Him who called us out of the darkness. Thank You, Lord, into his marvelous light. And so, Lord, we want to celebrate that as we go out of here today. We're celebrating the grace of our God, the love of our Savior who died for us, that we get to be like you. Paul says, I want to know him. Father, we want to know you. We want to be like you. We want people to be hungry. We want to be committed to the Great Commission as you live it out through us, through your Holy Spirit. Even today, in Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Get out there and give them heaven, guys.